This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks once again for joining us here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are joined by Dr. Parker Villargo and Dr. Russell Hendrick, board-certified plastic surgeons and co-owners of New Orleans Center for Aesthetics and Plastic Surgery in New Orleans, Louisiana. They are here to discuss transgender plastic surgery and the different procedures involved, such as facial feminization surgery, breast surgery, liposuction, and fat grafting. Doctors, a pleasure to have you back with us here on eHealth Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning to you both. So tell us, what is transgender plastic surgery? What are some common procedures involved in transgender plastic surgery?
Well, I think it's worth noting that, you know, transgender is basically just an umbrella term for individuals that are born with a biologic gender that they don't identify with. And so our goal is to, through plastic surgery, help them to better find a way to change their external appearance so that it matches their internal identity. So with that, we have patients that are looking to transition from female to male, and more commonly patients that approach us that are interested in transitioning from male to female. So there are a variety of different procedures that we can do to help accomplish these goals.
And how would you say that these procedures differ when doing them for gender reassignment reasons?
Well, in this aspect, we're actually trying to make the person look like the opposite gender. So, you know, most of the time in cosmetic surgery, we are improving the looks that they are born with, and that, you know, they, I guess they resemble, you know, a woman would resemble a woman and a man would resemble a man. In transgender surgery, we are trying to make them look like the opposite sex. So we have to really concentrate on adjusting the features of the person to make them identify with the opposite sex.
With bottom surgery being the only exception, the procedures that we offer for transgender patients are essentially performed in a technical standpoint very similar to those patients who are not transgender. So, for example, patients that may want a more feminine-appearing nose may undergo rhinoplasty surgery. Well, the rhinoplasty surgery is technically performed in the same manner in a transgender patient as in a patient who is just looking to improve the appearance of the nose. So, technically speaking, most of the procedures that we perform on transgender individuals are performed in the same manner, again, with the exception of bottom surgery and a few portions of facial feminization surgery. So mentioning the procedures that can be performed for transgender individuals, broadly speaking, for our male to female patients, I offer a basically facial feminization surgery. And that's an umbrella term that encompasses a lot of procedures that can feminize a masculine appearing face. And one of those procedures are brow lifting. We could also contour the forehead to make the forehead appear more feminine in structure, taking out the ridge, that prominent ridge that's often found in male patients above the eye bone or above the nasal prominence. And just by contouring that, a more feminine appearance can be had. Also hairline lowering, again, feminizing rhinoplasty. The mandible or jawbone can be contoured. Cheek and chin augmentation can be performed to obtain a more feminine appearance. Lip augmentation and eyelid surgery as well is something that can be performed. And perhaps one of the most transformative surgeries that can be performed is something called a chondrolaryngoplasty or a tracheal shave, where the prominent Adam's apple can be shaved down so that a more masculine appearing neck, especially in profile, can become more feminized. And a all of these procedures aren't necessarily required to have a more feminine face. However, any combination of these procedures can be performed at the same time in order to help attain the ultimate goal and tailor to the patient in order to attain a more feminized facial feature. And Dr. Hendrick also performs some body surgery as well, which he's going to speak of here as well.
So for male to female transfer or gender change, you know, the transformation of a male body to a female body requires just some extra fat placement in areas that would give them a more shapely body figure. In that we would perform fat grafting to the hips and buttocks to kind of give them a more shapely appearance below. In addition, a lot of male to female transgender patients come in asking for breast. This is often done through breast implants due to the fact that fat grafting does not give them quite the result that they're looking for. But if the patients have had implants for a long period of time, they may actually be able to transition to more fat grafting to the breast as that tissue has become more stretched out over time. So that's the more common procedures for male to female. We also do see female to male in my area of the body. These women are looking for mastectomies. They're looking to have their breasts removed. They're tired of binding their chest to give them the appearance of a flat chest. Therefore, they come in for removal of the breast, which is a mastectomy. And this can be done through various techniques using liposuction or subcutaneous mastectomy. And so this will provide them with a much more masculine-looking appearance of the chest.
Now, what is the recovery process like here, and are there any side effects or complications that could be expected?
The recovery process is not unlike the recovery process from these procedures performed in patients that are not transgender. However, we do like to stress to our patients that the recovery can be a bit of an emotional roller coaster. So while they go in with great expectations and excitement, oftentimes when they see their appearance immediately following surgery, bruised and swollen, it can be somewhat of a letdown until the total recovery process has taken place. And for the procedures that we discussed, the recovery process is typically anywhere from 1 to 3 to 4 weeks or so in terms of total recovery. And in terms of complications, again, the complications are oftentimes no different than that of a surgery performed routinely on a non-transgendered patient.
And those would include, you know, bleeding, infection, pain, obviously scarring, dissatisfaction with what they actually end up with. A lot of times in plastic surgery, actually all the time in plastic surgery, we have to manage patients' expectations and make sure that they don't have unrealistic expectations of what their result is going to be after surgery. And that's a big part of plastic surgery, and it's something we spend a lot of time with our patients here in our clinic just to make sure that they're going to be satisfied with what we can give them.
And certainly a key factor right there. Today we are joined by both Dr. Parker Villargo and Dr. Russell Hendrick, board-certified plastic surgeons and co-founders and co-owners of New Orleans Center for Aesthetics and Plastic Surgery in New Orleans, Louisiana, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, what makes someone an ideal candidate for transgender plastic surgery, and is there anything that would make someone a less than ideal candidate?
Well, as Dr. Hendrick mentioned, we want to make sure that all patients have realistic expectations. Having realistic expectations makes one an ideal candidate. And in addition to that, we want to make sure that their health, both physical health and mental health, are at their peak prior to these procedures. So we like to make sure that all of our transgender patients are under the care of an endocrinologist, specifically an endocrinologist that is familiar with transgender care, and we want to make sure that they're under the care of a psychologist or psychiatrist so that they can mentally prepare for the healing process, because healing in plastic surgery, not just in transgender plastic surgery, but plastic surgery in general, the healing process is both a physical and mental toll, and we want to make sure that all of our patients are mentally prepared to handle the emotional roller coaster and the transformative healing process that occurs following surgery.
And someone who would be less of an ideal candidate would be someone who recently felt that they were in the, you know, had gender dysphoria. We want to know that the person has gone through an extensive workup with a psychologist just to make sure that this is not something that's going to be transient. Because if we do this surgery and we change the appearance of their gender, this is something that could be permanent. And it could, you know, if they decide that they don't want to identify with that gender anymore, then they have done pretty much almost permanent changes to their body that can't be reversed. So those would be the, you know, the least ideal candidates is, you know, someone who's has not been going through the entire process.
Certainly helpful information in those regards. Lastly, what are some important things a person should know or ask their surgeon about before considering this type of surgery?
The surgeon should be board certified in either facial plastic and reconstructive surgery or plastic and reconstructive surgery. And the patient should ask about the experience in performing the procedures that are being proposed.
They should also, you know, look at a, I guess, a post before and after gallery. You know, they want to know that the surgeon is familiar with the surgery that's going to be performed, and in that they can see the images before and after, that they, you know, we can all manage their expectations and make sure that we're all on the same page.
And you want to make sure that there's a trusting relationship between the physician and the patient. And so oftentimes just having that good gut feel between the surgeon and the patient is something that will make for a good partnership.
Gentlemen, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you back covering transgender plastic surgery and the options, the advantages, and what you offer. Where can listeners get all the details on your practice there in New Orleans, and how could listeners also be in touch accordingly?
Well, they can find us on www.plasticsurgerynola.com. They can also reach us at 504-533-8848.
Easy enough. Well, doctors, it's been our pleasure to have had you back with us, and thanks so much for your time and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Certainly look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with both Dr. Parker Villargo and Dr. Russell Hendrick, board-certified plastic surgeons and co-founders and co-owners of New Orleans Center for Aesthetics and Plastic Surgery in New Orleans, Louisiana, and for details and more information and for contact, simply visit plasticsurgerynola.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.